11. Or you can follow along on the monitor or your bulletins. John 11, 25 and 26, kind of our main verses for this morning. It is good to be together. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with my friends and family. What a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful privilege it is to be together. And I just want to encourage you, whatever you might be going through this morning, just give it to the Lord. And don't say to yourself, well, that's a cop-out. What in the world does that really mean? What I'm trying to tell you is there's a God that loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And if he sent his son to die for you so your sins can be forgiven, what is he going to withhold from you? What is he going to hold back from you? He loves you and he cares about what you're going through. So we can leave here refreshed, we can leave here energized. Or we can leave here exactly the same way we came in. And maybe some of us came in already excited and ready to worship the Most High God. Maybe some of us came in here with some burdens. And that's all right, man. You're in the right place. This is where we come. But don't pick them up when you leave. Don't take them out of here. Don't take these burdens out with you. Because God can make a way where there is no way. When you look at your life, give the Lord some praise. When you look at your life and you say, well, there's no fix in this, that's simply not true. That's not the God we serve. We serve the God that is talked about in Luke 1, verse 37, when the angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. So we have a thief. We have this thief. His name is Satan, and he hates your guts. Newsflash, spoiler alert, he hates you. And so he's got a job, and his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. Okay, so if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've said, Father God, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, I repent of my sins. If you said that, you're in God's family. You belong to the Most High God, and Satan can't have your soul. He can't have you, but you know what? He still says, I got a job to do, and I'm going to steal, and I'm going to kill, and I'm going to destroy. And so Satan's power is limited. Satan's power is limited to the room that you give him in your mind. That's how this thing works. You're like, well, if that was the case, why would someone go in a Taco Bell and start shooting people? Because that person gave Satan some room in their mind. Don't do it. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. So let's look at our scriptures this morning. What we got going on here is we got Jesus meeting with Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus has passed away. Jesus had this special family that he loved to hang out with. Jesus would go hang out with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as like a retreat or a respite from the crazy life of ministry. Was a place where he could go and kind of privately relax with him and his disciples. Martha would cook food for him, and it would just be a time of rest and recuperation for Jesus Christ. Well, one day Jesus is off a couple days away from Bethany, which is the village that Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in. Bethany, the village, is very close to Jerusalem in proximity. So anyways, he's a couple days journey away doing the ministry stuff. Martha and Mary send word to Jesus, hey, this guy that you love so much is sick. He's really, really sick. Jesus, come back and do your thing, man. We need you to pray for Lazarus. We need you to, you know, take care of him. So, if you know the story, and I'm sure you do, Jesus waits two more days before he even starts back, and it's a couple of days' journey. So he gets there after Lazarus has been dead 4 days. The brother of Mary and Martha has been dead for 4 days. And so as Jesus nears the village of Bethany, before he even gets into the village, he's kind of at the outskirts, Martha, one of the sisters, runs out to meet him. And that's where we're going to start today. But let's pray. Let's read these verses, then we'll pray. How about them apples? Let's read the verse. John 11, 25 and 26. These are our main verses, kind of. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing in this service. Thank you, Father God, that chains are falling off, that bodies are being healed, that hearts are being healed, that we will not leave here the same way, Lord, but your will be done, Lord God. And thank you, Father God, that this is a church that cares about one another. This is a church that cares about its community. This is a church that is going to be obedient to you wherever and whenever and whatever you call us to do. We will be obedient. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm excited to be here this morning. God has a good word for us, so just look through the messenger and let's just receive what the Most High God has for us. Well, we will notice in this text that we have one of these I am statements. Okay, so it's important to point these out. John has, in the book of John, he has showed us the seven I am statements of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to dwell on that too much this morning, but the I am statements that Christ makes are so very important. Because in essence, what he is saying when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, when he says, I am the gate, when he says, I am the good shepherd, when he says, I am the true vine, what he is saying in these statements, he's saying, I am God. I am God. Remember Jesus, or Moses, when he was in the desert, there was the burning bush. And he says, oh, let me go see what's going on. There's a bush burning. You don't see that every day out here in the desert. Let me go check this out. You know, you would have checked it out too. So he goes up to it, and God is speaking to him. And God says, take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground. And God says, listen, Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt, and I need you to set my people free. And Moses goes back and forth and why he can't do it or why he shouldn't do it. But eventually he says, well, who in the world would I say is sending me? I can't say, a burning bush told me to come do this. Ain't no one gonna believe that. And God says, tell him I am. I am. Tell him I am sent you. So one of the names of God the Father is I am. And what I do from time to time when I'm going through a difficult season or something that's a situation in my life that I don't really care to be in, I remember that I belong to the great I am, that he is everything I need. Can I get a witness? So Jesus is making one of these statements. He's talking to Martha and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha says, so Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Your brother will live again. And Martha says, yeah, I know. In the last day, in the resurrection, a long time from now, but right now I'm hurting, okay? So some pie in the sky or something far off is great and fine and dandy, but I'm really going through it right now, Jesus. And Jesus says to her, no, Martha, you're missing it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one that will defeat hell, death, and the grave. I am the one that is about to raise your brother back from the dead, okay? So this is an amazing statement that Jesus Christ is making. And so let's just move forward. We got the I am statements. We're going to keep hitting those as the weeks come along. But he says, in this right here, John 14 and verse 6, because Jesus is saying something incredible. This is a very bold statement that he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says, whoever believes in me, yeah, you're going to die, but you're not going to stay dead. Yeah, you're going to die, but you will live again. What a wonderful, amazing promise. And thank God that he wasn't lying to us. You know what I mean? Well, how do you know he wasn't lying to us? Because he rose from the dead himself. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. There's an empty tomb in Israel. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. How do you even know that even happened? Because your grandma told you? No, man. Look, there were scores and scores of believers, Christians, first generation Christians, that had the choice of saying, yeah, he didn't rise from the dead, then they could live on with their life. Or they could say, you know what? No, I will not say it. I will not say he did not rise from the dead, because I know he rose from the dead. I was with him. He is alive and well. And so they had to pay for that statement with their lives. The Jews did not want people talking about a risen Jesus Christ. The Romans didn't like anyone talking about a risen Jesus Christ. So many of these early Christians were murdered. They were martyred because they refused to say, it was a joke. They didn't know what to do. Jesus was gone. We had this movement. It was kind of going great. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is gone, so we just kind of met together and said, hey, let's just say he rose from the dead. This will keep the money. That's not what happened, man. These people paid with their lives. They paid with their lives, man. And here we are, 2,000 years later after the fact, worshiping and celebrating a risen Savior who still changes lives and still, thank you, Jesus. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So here's the thing. He's given this amazing statement to Martha, and then he finalizes the statement with a question. Do you believe what I'm saying to you? Do you believe I am who I say I am? And of course, we know that she says, yes, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God that come into the world. But see, the truth is the truth, and the truth will always be the truth. And if you believe in the truth can set you free. So the truth is the truth, and the truth does not change. Has everyone got it? Okay, 2 + 2, what, equals 4. There's no getting around that. That's a true statement. 2 + it doesn't matter what angle you come from it. You can say, well, my opinion is 2 + 2 is -16 or whatever. That might be your opinion, but that doesn't change the fact of the truth of the matter. The truth is the truth. So Jesus says, this is the truth, Martha. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And if you believe in me, even though you die, you will live. And he closes off this amazing statement by saying, Martha, you know, it's been a tough couple of days, but do you still believe this? Do you believe this? And that's the question for all of us. Do we believe this? You know, well, my world has been messed up since the last time we met together, Paul. I mean, I don't know. You know, do you still believe this? Because yes, he does save our souls, and we will live for all eternity with him. But you know what else? He wants to resurrect the mess of your life. He wants to make something beautiful out of the ashes that some of us have created ourselves. Some of us just inherited it. Sometimes things just happen. But he says, look, I can make something beautiful out of this. And we're like, what are you talking about, man? You'd have no idea what you're talking about. Matter of fact, I find that a little bit offensive that you would say something like that. No, it's the truth, man. I'm just giving you the truth. And it's up to us if we want to believe and receive it or not. Can I get a witness? So look at John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's another one of those I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to eternal life. Well, that's not what my professor told me. Well, I'm sorry. The truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. Now it's up to us if we want to receive that blessing from the truth. Acts 4 and verse 12. This is Peter. This is Peter being questioned by the religious elite. Peter in Acts 14 verse 12. And there is salvation. And pretty much whatever you want to believe in, as long as you're sincere and you try and do more good things than you do bad things. Nope. That's not true. Here's a true statement. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So let's just take care of that right away. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to eternal life. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how much money you've donated to this cause or that cause or how sincere you are about believing something. No, there's no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Now, Martha and Jesus are having this conversation. He says, I am the resurrection. Now, Martha reaches out to her sister Mary. Mary's still back at the homestead, back at the hacienda, and she's with a bunch of mourners. Mary's back there with a bunch of mourners, and Martha reaches out to Mary and says, hey, privately, reaches out to her and says, hey, the teacher, Jesus, Jesus is here, Mary, and he wants you. He wants to talk with you. And so that right there speaks volumes to me. Because here's Martha, completely devastated. Here's Mary, the sister of Martha, completely devastated. And look at how Jesus says, Mary, I want you. I want to be there for you. Now, this is so important, and we don't want to just jump over this, but he's reaching out to those that are hurting. He's reaching out. He's not staying away because it's uncomfortable and I don't know how to deal with loss. I like to come around when everything's going good, but here's this crazy situation, so I think I'll just step back and just let somebody else deal with it. But no, we see our Lord and Savior giving himself, implanting himself into this hurting person's world. He says, I'm looking for her. Get her, go get her. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 34 and verse 18. This is a true statement. This is a very true statement. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. I don't like to be brokenhearted, but that's the world that we live in sometimes. When we go through stuff like this, Jesus tells us, you know, the good book says there's a time to mourn. There's a time for everything. You know, but right here, we gotta understand this, that he's not pulling farther away from you when you're hurting. He says, I want to be with you through this hard time. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So not only is he near to you, but he says, I want to save you. I want to get you through this crisis or this painful situation that you're in. He says, I don't want this to be the end. I don't want you to stagnate. I don't want you to be miserable. I want you to have peace as you go through this situation. Give the Lord some praise, and let's go to the next slide. John 11, 32 and 33. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where did we hear that before? Martha said that last week. Martha said that exact thing, the exact same thing. Look at John 11, 21 right here. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So that's not crazy that they both would say the same thing or feel the same way about the situation. But it's kind of, it would appear to me that these guys have, these two sisters, as they're dealing with their agony and their grief and their sorrow, that they're kind of pointing their finger at Jesus. And that they've kind of been talking together because they're saying the same exact thing. You ever had someone come up to you and tell you something, and maybe it wasn't that good of a statement, but someone tells you something about yourself or something like that? Then a little while later, somebody in close proximity to that person tells you the exact same thing, and you're like, wow, man, I think those guys have been talking bad about me or something like that. Maybe that's never happened to you, but it's totally happened to me. But we, with a couple of people in here, no, I'm playing. Okay, moving forward. But these guys, it would appear, it would seem that as they were going through this tough time, that they begin to say, you know what, Jesus, if Jesus would have been here, well, it's right there in the text, isn't it? Jesus could have fixed this mess. He could have fixed this mess. Listen to me, this is so important, man. When it doesn't make sense, go to what does make sense. When it doesn't make sense, lean on what God has already told you and stand on his truth. That I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah, he's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. But, you know, let's learn something from these two precious ladies that are going through a really, really difficult season. They're going through a tough time, a time that nobody wants to go through. But they're kind of saying, Jesus, this is Jesus, you blew it. And let's be honest, right? Jesus, you blew it, man. Why did you wait so long? You know, maybe they're even bragging a little bit. Everything's going to be fine, guys. I'm glad you guys are here. Pay your last respects to Lazarus. So it's all good. Don't worry about it. our friend, our very close and dear friend Jesus, I know you've heard about him, opens the eyes of the blind, opens the ears of the deaf. He's our personal buddy, and he's on his way. So Lazarus ain't gonna die. But I'm glad you guys are here. Maybe they did some bragging about Jesus, but Jesus didn't do exactly what they wanted or what they expected, which happens from time to time. But when Jesus doesn't do what you think he should do, he's still gonna do what's best for you. Hell, well, he's still gonna do what's best for you. He's working, let me say it like this, he's working behind the scenes on something that we can't even begin to fathom how great it's gonna be, you know? How about I get there after Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, when a huge crowd has built up and the Holy Spirit raises Lazarus from the dead, and then all of a sudden revival breaks out in the village of Bethany. What about them apples? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. When we're going through a hard time, this is just a little side note here, but it's worth saying. When we're going through something, or somebody is going through something, let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's not talk how horrible the situation is, or how hopeless and helpless the situation is, or how I think God might have just left you out this time or forgotten about you, because we know that's not the truth. And so when somebody's going through something, let's do this, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. I love how Paul's talking to the church in Thessalonica. And he says, you guys are already doing this. Keep doing it. That's a good report to get from the Apostle Paul. You guys are already doing this and you're doing great. Don't stop doing it. Keep encouraging one another, because you had opportunities yesterday, opportunities today, and you will definitely have more opportunities in the future to encourage somebody. And we encourage them through the truth, through the Word of God. Can I get a witness? John 11:35. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Oh my gosh, what's going on here? So Martha sends for Mary. And when Mary runs to Jesus, there was a whole room or whole house full of people that were consoling her and mourning with her, who left with Mary and ran to where Jesus was. And when Jesus sees little Mary, just heartbroken, and she just says this statement, she just says this thing, you know, Jesus, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, my brother would not be dead. Well, now, Jesus looks down and he sees little Mary just heartbroken. And it's not just her crying. There's Martha. And there's all these other people crying because Lazarus is dead. And Jesus is deeply moved. I find this simply amazing. And I mean that Jesus Christ, knowing the power that is in him, knowing that he is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said that to the disciples before they even started coming back towards Jerusalem or Bethany. He said, it's good that we weren't there. This is a good thing, because God is going to be glorified. I'm going to be glorified. This is a good thing. So he says, when he saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Jesus actually felt sorrow for the grief of his loved ones. Let me say that again. Jesus felt sorrow in his heart because people he loved were suffering. Think about that for a second. When you say, when I go through something, nobody cares. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that, because God himself it deeply cares about what you're going through. Even though he's a big picture God and he sees everything, he sees the end from the beginning. When one of his babies are hurting, it hurts his heart. When one of his children are hurting, it hurts his heart. He is deeply moved. And then John 11:35 is that tiny little verse we all know. Jesus wept. Throw that in there. Deeply moved and troubled. Jesus wept because the people that he loved were hurting. And then look at John 11:38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. So we have three statements right here where Jesus is showing us that even though he knows it's going to get better, even though he knows, Mary and Martha, it's going to be worth the wait, his heart is hurting because the people that he loved, their heart is hurting as well. So we have a God that deeply cares about what we're going through. Matter of fact, let's go to the next slide real fast and give the Lord some praise. Look at Psalm 116, verse 15. This is how the ESV says it. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious to the Lord when one of his loved ones pass away. Because this God who has the full picture and the full understanding says, okay, my son, my daughter, just is now to get that. It's time for that great reward. It's time. It's not like you get to sit on a cloud for millions and millions of years, but we're going to work. We're going to work. You just got promoted is what's going on. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Now, can you hear my phone ringing? Never mind, I'm sorry. Psalm 116 in verse 15. It's funny that my phone rings so much every Sunday morning, afternoon when I'm up here preaching. Everybody in my world, let me just call this person back. Everybody in my world knows what I'm doing. Now they know they should not become, hello? I'm not doing that. I hung up on, but you know, there you go. Don't call me. I don't go up to Burger King and mess with you while you're at work. My gosh. He's calling me back. Let's just pray, Father God. Now, let's move forward. Now, look. Psalm 116 and verse 15 in the NLT. Same verse, different translation. Let's see if this gives us a little peace. Psalm 116, verse 15. The Lord cares deeply. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. When you're hurting, even though he sees the big picture, his heart is breaking as well for you because he knows that you're hurting. What a beautiful thing. Now look also, if we go back here, don't turn the slide or anything, but just let me read Psalm 11:33 again. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. So it's not just that he is feeling sorrow because his loved ones are hurting, but it's also he is angry. We don't talk about that a lot. Well, isn't that a sin to be? No, guys, you know, it's not always a sin to be angry. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. Sometimes we need to get angry about certain things and not be so passive about it. You know what I mean? So anywho, Jesus is getting angry when he sees Mary and Martha, and their hearts are breaking, and all these people who are so sad, and everybody's crying. You know, I think at this moment, Jesus Christ was never more determined to go to the cross. He said, I know what I have to do. I am going to kick Satan in his teeth. I'm going to take care of this, because I am tired of seeing people I love in agony. I'm tired of seeing the effects of sin, because the wages of sin is death. I'm tired of seeing this over and over again. I am going to do what the Father has called me to do. But he's actually angry at sin and the effects of sin that it has on people. So let's talk about that briefly, because if you're like me, I don't know if you're like me, but if you're like me, you like to say that it's the things that you like to do that are not godly, the sins that you like to do, okay, we always make excuses for the things we do. That's what I'm trying to say. I am real good about saying, oh man, look at how nasty and perverse and crazy that person is. Look at how, man, I cannot believe that. When at the whole time, I'm just as messed up. And my sin might be a little different than yours. I might be tempted in a completely different way than you, but I'm no better than anyone else. I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know? And so instead of making provision for my sin, let's understand that God the Father, he hates it. He absolutely hates it. He can't have anything to do with sin, but he loves you. He loves you with an undying love. And he doesn't. So sin causes a separation between us and our Creator. It hurts our fellowship with our Savior, you know? And God is like, please, you don't understand what you're messing with. You don't understand. Well, I just need a little bit of this. No, okay, look. Psalm 5 and verse 4. For you are not a God. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. What in the world does that have to do with me? He doesn't think your sin and perversity is cute. I know it sounds like I'm talking to you guys. I'm talking to me as well. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. God can't have anything to do with this. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. He washed away my sins. He paid for my sins with the blood, with his own blood. And so that should kind of mean something to me. And you know, we make these excuses for our sin, and let's remember that Jesus Christ hates it. He hates sin, but he loves us. And he says, you're playing with the snake. You're grabbing the snake by the tail, and you ain't Moses. It ain't going to work out for you. Little Bible trivia humor there for you. Exodus. He said you ain't Moses. Anyway, moving forward. God doesn't want you to sin. First, there's a news flash for you. First, I don't know if we should go back there, Harold. 1 Peter 4 and verse 2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, if you're alive on this side of glory, you're still in this flesh. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. That's what we've been called to. Yeah. It's not about us. It's not about us anymore. You done signed on the dotted line. I want to receive the precious blood of Jesus Christ to wash away my sins. And I want to serve him. You know, so God says, look, the time, I think it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful how Peter talks about this in 1 Peter. He's like, good Lord. He's like, okay, you could have done it back in the day. But now that you're saved, it don't need to be on your bucket list, Chief. You could have done it. If you had to have done it, you should have already done it. But you ain't going to do it now. Can I get a witness? All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, John 11:37. Is everybody all right? John 11:37, back to our story. Jesus, Martha and Mary, they're going to the tomb. They're heading to the tomb. Jesus knows what he's about to do. And some of these onlookers, some of these mourners, some of these people that were there to console Mary and Martha say this very interesting thing. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Okay, so here we have another situation where we have some people kind of grumbling. Okay, let me say it like this. Don't be a person when someone's hurting to where you spit doubt and confusion on them. Don't be the type of person that spits doubt and confusion on someone else. And don't look at your own life and say, my God, how come this person got healed from blindness and here I am in this situation and my life is so horrible? I'm not making fun of anybody. I've certainly done things like that. But like I say, and it's scriptural, instead of blaming God for everything or getting with the peanut gallery and saying, well, look how this person has it and all this and all that, instead of grumbling and complaining, and it's okay to have questions. I got questions. But look, the answers to our questions are in scripture. And you might not always like the answer that you get, but that's the answer that God says, this is what you need. You know, but he tells us everything. As a matter of fact, when he tells us everything, he says, you can't handle everything. So you just have to trust in me. That's what he's saying. So when the person says, well, check this out. This Jesus cat who goes around opening up deaf people's ears and making the crippled guy walk. And the blind eyes open. Seems like he could have got here before his buddy died and kept him from dying. Don't let doubt and confusion and misery come in. Don't entertain that junk because that is a trap. That is a big trap, but when we don't understand, go back to what we know. Well, remember Jesus said, do you believe this? We got to go back to what we know is true, because the truth is the truth. And if you want to receive the blessing from the truth, you really have to believe in the truth, or else it's just going to go right by you. That makes sense? Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Paul, you sure do love that verse. I really do. I really, really do, man. I do, because it gives me so much peace. To understand, I don't have to get it. I don't have to understand. Because this is what he's saying. You're not going to understand. I'm God and you're not. I'm the Father. You are the child. Just trust in me. That childlike faith, Paulie, that we were talking about. Just trust in me. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see. Hello. Hello. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I love this one too, man. Because God is saying, you know what? You're not getting the full picture now. You don't have the ability to see the full picture now. Just like the little ant walking around, like, ooh, ant, watch out, because there's a whatever can eat ants is right around. Never mind. Watch out, little ant. Watch out, little fella. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. So one day we're gonna have a lot of questions answered. And it's okay, man. It's okay to have those questions. But I think it is also so important to keep that reverence for our God. You know? To keep that reverence and just say, I don't get it, but I know you love me. I know that you want what's best for me. I don't see how this is the best for me. I don't understand why you know, but I know you love me. I know you are my loving Father, so I'm going to put my trust in you. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. John 11, 39 and 40. Jesus said, take away the stone. Oh, this is crazy good. Jesus said that if you were from Massachusetts, you would say, this is wicked good, I think, or something like that. I remember being up there in New England. He's like, is everything wicked to you? What? This is wicked cool. Never mind. John 11, 39 and 40. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now think about your life, man. Think about the troubles that you have been going through. and look at what Jesus is doing. Okay, look at what Jesus is doing. And you say, Jesus, you should have just did it. Why didn't you do it here? It's like, because I'm doing something better, man. I'm doing something better than you could ever imagine. So sometimes, a lot of the time, it's worth the wait. And when Jesus says, no, not right now, it's certainly worth the wait. So instead of letting doubt and confusion and frustration and bitterness take hold, just grab a hold of God's promises and say, I'm going to praise you right now. I don't have a clue what you're doing, but I'm going to praise you right now in the middle of all this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, how would you like to be known as that? Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. I think it's the King James that says, by this time he stinketh. Lord, by this time he stinketh. I am writing a Christian book. It's going to be called, never mind. The sister of the dead man said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It don't get much more hopeless than that. You can look at your life and say, man, I done made a mess of everything. There ain't no fixing this. You know, you can look at, man, it's all messed up. My nation's messed up. And you ain't lying. This is messed up. But God ain't done. God's working behind the scenes for something bigger and better than we can even imagine. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you? You remember our conversation we just had on the outskirts of the village? Didn't I just tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So please, take this to heart. What did God tell you today? You know, what did God tell you in your Bible time last week? Because that's what we got to hold on to. We got to trust in God's word. Did he not tell us that he would never leave us or forsake us? Did he not tell us not to fear because he will be with us? Did he not tell us that he's going to make a way in the wilderness? When it looks hopeless, look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. When it looks hopeless, go back to what God said. God said, what did I tell you, Martha? In a loving way. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm. Underline that in your neighbor's Bible. Be watchful, stand firm, stand firm. Be unmovable, be unshakable, because you're like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. I'm standing on God's word. I'm meditating on God's word. I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Trust in God's word. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I really love that part. Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Like, you guys just act like men for a minute. You act like some men. And so the good Lord's telling us that, you know, stand firm in what I've told you. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the Lord. When everything is shaking sand, stand firm in me. Be planted in me, because I'm doing something. And you might not figure it out. You might not know what's going on, but it's bigger and better than what you can imagine. You know, he takes our life and he can make something beautiful out of it. This guy is dead. He's dead. That's pretty hopeless, man. And he's 4 days after the fact. He didn't get there while he was just really, 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 really bad sick, you know. So maybe some of the guys that came to check on him could be like, yeah, he was really sick and then he got better. But, you know, Martha made that chicken soup. And, man, that stuff does wonders for you, you know. There's a lot of other ways where other people could have got credit, or a lot of places in people's minds where they could have been like, I'm not saying you're a liar. He was sick. He didn't look so good. I've seen people worse off. I don't think Jesus healed that dude. I've seen a lot of people worse off than that. Get back up and go to work 3 days later. When Jesus does something, man, he does it to where God gets the glory, where he gets the glory. You know, 4 days after the fact, ain't nobody saying, you know, he stinks, man. He is dead. He is frozen. He looks like that possum in the middle of the road upside down. I just can't believe he said that. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. John 11:43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And we all know why he said, Lazarus, come out. Because if he would have just said, all rise or come out, every dead person would be walking out. You know? When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out. Whatever you're going through, it ain't hopeless. Whatever you're going through now, well, my situation has been dead for 4 days. For nothing is impossible with God. Don't give up. Trust in God. Don't let discouragement or despair settle in, because that's going to lead to bitterness. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't look at other people. You look at the Most High God. You trust in him. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you are blessing each and every one of us, that you are healing each and every one of us, that you have a plan and desired goals for each and every one of us, and we will be obedient, be used by you. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. Amen. Now,